is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, please help me this night. Oh Lord, I need you. It's empty and it's vain without you. I just pray for, Lord, for you to move and for me to just be a nobody that you could use me. And I ask this, and I thank you for the foolishness of preaching that changes lives. So please help us. Help us to get real with you this night. In Jesus' lovely, precious, conquering name, amen. Christianity is not just about having eternal life. Eternal life, everlasting life is precious. Christianity is more than that. It's about abundant life. Amen. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, just an introduction. I want you to see, a lot of times we miss so much in the Christian life. And there's a real enemy. There's a devil. The Bible describes him as a thief. And he wants to limit your Christianity, your salvation, and a little bit beyond that. But he doesn't want you to have the abundant life that God has promised in his word. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says this, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal," he's a thief, and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Amen. That's Christianity. Not all Christians experience abundant Christian life. Have you noticed that? You look around, you see Christians that are barely surviving, barely living from day to day. And they haven't experienced the abundant Christian life that God promised in his word. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Most Christians go around in cycles. The cycle goes around and they end up in failure over and over again. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." This is before salvation. Then after salvation, verse 9. "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of him, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" That's what happens. And the problem is we don't have an overcoming type of faith. The title of my message tonight is having an overcoming type of faith. Amen. We are designed, God put the Holy Spirit in you to conquer, amen, to have the victory over every aspect of our lives. Not just salvation, not just different things in your Christian life, but have the victory, the complete victory. Amen. When you got saved, certain things happened. God saved you from hell. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, that's a good reason to get saved. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Amen. Don't want to get that mixed up. It's not just about fire insurance, is it? You were saved from your sin. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Jesus came your way to save you from your sin. Amen? And that means every aspect of your lives, every area that hinders your walk with Christ needs to be conquered. Amen? Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And it's about your sins in the past, amen, being conquered. But it's also about the sins in the present and the sins in the future, amen. It's complete victory. God unplugs the power of sin in your life. And we as Christians, we have to realize that sin will no longer have dominion over me, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. You were saved to be Christ-like. Nothing less than that. Do you understand that? It's not just getting by. It's not just having the victory over some kind of sins in your life. It's having victory over every sin that comes between you and Christ. Amen? Let me show you Weston's life verse. Psalms 138. See, I remembered, Weston. Psalm 138. In verse 8, it says this: "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand." The Lord's not going to forsake the works of thine own hand. He will perfect that which concerneth him. Amen? And he does that as you allow him to work in your life, as you allow him to remove those areas of your life that are hindering your Christian walk. Amen? Now, I believe we live in an interesting day and age. We live in the age, the church age, that's a Laodicean type age. Let me just explain what I mean by that. Go to Revelation chapter 2 now. Revelation chapter 2. I know we're turning to a little bit of scripture, but we'll calm down after a while. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, you have seven churches. And these churches can be looked on as a historical viewpoint as well. Now, the first church there in Revelation chapter 2 is the church of Ephesus. And Ephesus means desirable. This is interesting. And people say, what I read about it, and it's not wrong to say this, this is kind of first century Christianity. It's been compared to that, okay? And the second church is Smyrna. That means bitter. And that goes from 96 AD to 315 AD. And that's the type of persecution that happened to church in that day and age, where people like Nero and different persecutions were taking place. And it was bitter. And then there's the church of Pergamos. And that means marriage. That's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. And it says this. It talks about, "I know thy works." And it talks about a marriage between Romanism and Christianity. And there was an impurity that came in there. And there was a defilement. And then you continue on. And you have the church of Thyatira in verse 18. And this means, the word Thyatira means continual sacrifice. You enter the age of the dark ages where there's continual sacrifice and Romanism takes over basically. And you have a form of Christianity, but you don't have pure Christianity. You have the dark ages. And then all of that comes, you go to the church of Sardis, and that means remnant. There's a small remnant. And that goes from, Sardis goes from 1500 to 1700. Okay? And you've got this small, 1500 to 1700. And you have a small remnant. You have people like John Wycliffe. People like the Reformers. Just coming up. Just a small remnant of people bringing forth the Bible and telling people it's time to repent. It's time to come out of the mother church and it's time to be Bible-believing Christians all over again. And then you've got the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. You've got, and that means brotherly love. And that's the time from the 1700s to the 1900s where revival, missionary work took place. Where there was, the Great Commission was just outstretched to this world. You had the greatest time of revival. You had the Philadelphia church from 1700s to the 1900s. But then, from the 1900s to present day, comes the Laodicean type church. That's where we're at right now. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe we're right at the end where the trumpet is just about to sound. We're living in the last days. And we can't see sin today as it really is because our minds have become darkened. Our understanding has become darkened. God still desires a pure type of Christianity. Amen? Nothing less. You don't bring God down to your level. Let me just say this. I go to different churches. I see what's out there. I'm so glad for this church. I'm so glad for this church. I see what happens when churches water down the word. Amen? I see what happens when sin's not preached. And I'm glad for this church, amen? The reason why churches grow is simply this. The individuals personally overcome personal sins in their life. I believe that. I believe churches grow as the people grow and they overcome certain sins in their life. No man lived unto himself, no man died unto himself. We're all in this together. And we as Christians, we have to, when God shows me a sin, I have to go, that has to go. Amen? Because God's holy, God is perfect. To be Christ-like means that every area of my life has to be changed. The sin that so easily besets me has to get, I have to get the victory over. Amen? And notice what it says in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 and verse 21. Notice Jesus is outside. Jesus is outside the church. And he's knocking at the door. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me." And verse 21. "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down at my Father in his throne. He that has the ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." He that overcometh. And the reason why you become part of Laodicea is because Christians personally do not overcome personal sins in their life. I believe that. You know, James says this. James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." It goes on to say it in James 1 verse 27. It says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, is visiting the fatherless in their affliction and keeping himself unspotted from the world." The reason why it's pure religion is this. Nobody knows when you visit the fatherless. Nobody knows when you have the victory in your life. When you keep yourself unspotted from this world. Nobody knows, but God knows, amen? Amen? God knows. The message is having an overcoming type of faith. See, the key, go back to 1 John chapter 5 again, please. The key to understanding this portion of Scripture, 1 John 5, is just these three little words at the end of it. 1 John 5 verse 4 says this, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world." What's the next three words? Even our faith. God has given you a faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. The same faith that people of the reformers, the same faith that people who did incredible things in this world, is the same faith that we have. Amen. We have the same book, and we have the same God that is the God of this book. Amen. The key to overcoming is found in these words. It is faith-based. It is a faith based upon Jesus that is incapable of failure. Think about that for a second. Jesus, your faith is not based on yourself. Amen? Amen. It's based on Jesus who is incapable of failure. Amen. He cannot fail. So if we believe him, we believe in a God that is a rock and he cannot be moved. Amen? It is a faith meant to be lived out, though, in impossible circumstances. I believe it's a faith. God will put you in a situation where you're between a rock and a hard place, and God wants you to test your faith. Amen? It is faith that is activated once you purpose in your heart to be an overcomer. Amen? You know, a lot of Christians go along and they fall into something, and then they have a few weeks maybe of success, then they fall into something again. And it's a continual pattern. And God is very, very patient with us. Amen? David said, "I thank God who by his gentleness has made me great." And the thing is that you have the purpose in your heart that this thing has to go, amen, to be an overcomer. Daniel said it this way in Daniel 1:8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." The idea is you make a conscious decision saying that this sin will not have victory over me, amen. Let me give you the first thing that you need to overcome in this life, in this Christian life. You have to overcome your flesh. You have to overcome the old man, because he is very active. It is an internal battle that is raging every day of my life. There is the new man, and there is the old man, and there is a fight taking place. It says in Galatians, it says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they both are contrary one to another. Right. There's a battle going on. It is why Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. You know, it's not easy. If you are to be a Christian that overcomes, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a battle. It's reaching forth. Amen. It's a fight. You're in a fight. It is a battle. It is a battle to the end. And there can only be one victor. Do you ever realize that? Either you overcome it, or it will overcome you. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs 7. You know, we don't realize how serious sin is. We don't realize that sin is deadly. Well, you know, you can smoke a cigarette. It's not going to kill you, but it'll kill you eventually. It just takes time. We don't see the consequences of our sin. But God says, you need to be aware. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. And this is talking about the harlot here. But you know, all addictive sin is like this. Don't think this is talking about a harlot. This doesn't apply to me. Any addictive sin that you get into will ruin your life. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 23 says this. Kill. This is the end. You know, the Bible says there's a way to seem right unto man, but the end of the ways of death. Verse 23. Till a dart strike through his liver, and a bird hasted to the snare, and know it not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto my words and my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go astray in her paths. For she had cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men had been slain by her. Verse 27, her house is the way of hell, going down to the chambers of death. Any addictive sin is like that. It will eventually ruin you if you don't get the victory over it. So we have to understand that this thing is serious. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. It says this, 9 verse 17. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But verse 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. There's a spiritual aspect to it that the devil wants to use, and he wants to snare you. And we need to understand that this thing is for real. We live in an age where sin is presumptuous. We live in an age where sin is... Go to Psalms chapter 19. David, Psalms 19. Psalms verse 19 and verse 13. It says this, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. The idea is, things that I know that God doesn't want me to mess with. And I continue on with those things. And God says, that's presumptuous. You're presuming on the goodness of God. When you sin against a holy God, you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. You keep doing it. You're sinning against a holy God. You're sinning against the goodness of God. It is saying in your heart, well, I can get away with it. I can always confess it later on. That's wicked. That's a wicked mindset. That's a wicked way of thinking. And that's from the devil. That's from the old man, the flesh. You know, you can get away with it. You can get forgiveness. But you know what? Wouldn't it be good if you just could struggle and just deny yourself and just get the victory over it? And God would just pour his blessing upon you. God wants us. God puts us in a situation where we're in that situation. And then he wants us just to have that sweet victory. That's what it means to overcome. Amen? A lot of times we compare ourselves with ourselves. You know, I might look at some of the spiritual, some men here that might be spiritual. I say, I'm doing okay, I'm just like them. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number of, compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ, amen. We are called Christians. It is a high calling. We are only compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. Would Jesus watch an ungodly TV program? You know, I'm amazed that Christians have no problem with some profanity on television. Christians have no problem with stuff that's on the radio, ungodly radio channels. And a lot of times you become like that frog in the frying pan, and the heat is turned up, and you become just like the temperature of the water. And that's what it's like in this world. That's why you need the Bible in your life. You need to look at what the Bible says and get a quick realization of what is real. Amen? Would Jesus listen to ungodly radio channels? Would Jesus think it's okay to lie? It's only a lie? Well, just realize, when you lie, or if that's the habit nature, if that's just that besetting sin that comes upon you, just realize you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar. Would Jesus think it's okay to pollute your body with a cigarette? I mean, I know we think that's, you know, we tolerate that, but just remember, we're living in Laodicean type Christianity today. We think it's okay, you know, a cigarette. Would Jesus tolerate just a little bit of alcohol? You better realize you're called to a holy calling, amen. We're Christian. We're supposed to be Christian. We're supposed to be able to conquer those things, amen. Now, I know it's not easy. If you've got a sin, an addictive type sin, the Bible compares it. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23 compares it, again, dealing with the harlot, but it's dealing with, it compares it to, in verse 26 verse, "My son, give me thine ear, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit." All addictive sin is like that. All sin that you don't overcome is like that. It's like a deep ditch. But once you get the victory, it is sweet. Amen? Once you get the victory, it is so sweet. And you know, if you don't get the victory, this is what happens. The flesh is struggling against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And there's a battle taking place. You cannot have peace with God unless, as the hymnal says, all on the altar is laid. Let me just read the stanza of that. "You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid." God wants everything, amen. God doesn't want 99%. God wants 100%, amen. Everything. Overcome this flesh. It's a constant battle. It's a battle that's only won when you purpose in your heart, saying, "I'm not going to let this sin defile me. I'm not going to be ruled by this sin." Amen? The second thing you need to overcome is overcome this world. As a believer, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Do you realize that? I'm not of this world. I'm living in this world right now, but I'm not of this world. We're supposed to be sojourners. I like what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1 verse 17, it says this: "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect to person judge according to every man's work, pass this time of your sojourning here in fear." Amen. You know, the Bible says it's a good thing to fear the Lord. Amen. There's never a time where you shouldn't fear God. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, it says, "Happy is the man that feareth always." Amen. And the way you do that is because you become a pilgrim. You become a stranger, where the things of this world, as the hymnal goes, the things of this world grow strangely dim. That's what we need to be. Amen. Just going further and further away from this world. Hey, is this world bad? Well, the Bible says, "Love not this world, neither the things of this world. For all of this world is the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life." And it will contaminate you sooner or later. Amen. "Because my citizenship is not of this world." Aren't you glad? "My hope is not of this world." This world can fall apart. My hope is based on Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Amen. "My home is not in this world. I'm just passing through." Amen. And it's exciting. You think, where Christian mindset like that, how come this world is so deadly for the Christian? Well, let me just say why this world is so hard to overcome. This world is glamorous. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Excuse me. 2 Timothy. You know, there's a guy named Demas. Demas was one time a faithful man. He was one time a man that walked after the Spirit of God that Paul used in his life. But Demas, at the end of his life, the Bible says, in the sad words of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "For Demas had forsaken me, having loved the present world." And is a part on Thessalonica, Croatia, to Galatia, Titus, and Demaltia. And the sad thing about it is, Demas has forsaken Paul, amen, for the present world. This world is glamorous. I mean, you think of the bright lights, you think all the stuff that this world is. It's an attraction, if you're not spirit-filled. And the thing is, there's only two paths you can be on. There's the path of the just, the path of the narrow way, or there's the path of this world, the path of folly, amen. This world is glamorous. This world is noisy. Let me show you what I mean. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. This world wants your attention. And if you're not a Christian that is spirit-filled, this world will have your attention. And you will never overcome. You can never overcome without the book, amen. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Proverbs chapter 9. And let me just give you context here. It's talking about, in Proverbs chapter 9, there's basically two paths. There's the path of wisdom, which is referred to in Proverbs 9. It says in verse 4, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wants an understanding, she said to him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled." And it goes on, "Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." Amen? That's the way of understanding. That's the way of wisdom. But there's another path that is calling out to you. And that's found here. It refers to her in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 13. It refers to us, "A foolish woman is clamorous, noisy. She is simple. She knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house and she at the seat of our high places of the city." And notice what she's doing in verse 15. "To call passengers who go right on their ways." She's calling out to you. That's the world. Amen. The picture I want to use here is the picture of the world. It's calling out to you. It's noisy. You know, we went down to Man Point and just the noise. Christmas is coming. It's 6 weeks away. And the noise is start kicking in. All the stuff that conforms you to this world is kicking in. And you have to kind of get away. You have to have a quiet time, don't you? Because this world is noisy. This world will naturally attract you if you're not a spirit-filled Christian. This world is sensual. It talks about that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life." This world is visual. Let me go to Genesis chapter 13. See, this world is right in your face. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you will for the lust of flesh. Genesis chapter 13. And we have the story here of Lot. And I want you to see just one little verse here. Genesis 13 and verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan." Lot saw with his eyes. He liked what he saw with his eyes, and that's what he was attracted to. Amen? But Christianity is different. Christianity is a faith based on seeing him who is invisible. I've never seen Jesus, but I know he's real. That's what faith is. That's what an overcoming faith is. It's seeing him who's invisible. It's looking for a city that is not yet here. It's fate, amen. This world gives us instant gratification. The only problem is, it's only for a season. You know, you can turn on an ungodly program on the television and all that stuff, and at first, and you know, even though it might be funny, it defiles you inside. And it might be even a clean show, right? But it still has the spirit of the world behind it. So a lot of times we have to be careful, don't we? We have to be careful because there's a spirit of the world in a lot of the stuff that's out there. You have to have a quiet time. You have to be able to get away and go, man, I need to listen. You know, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the still, small voice. He's a still, small voice. You've got to have a place where you get alone. You've got to meet Jesus outside the camp. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. You know, I was thinking of Christmas. And I was thinking of the idea that Jesus was born in a manger. He was away from... This world didn't want to receive him. He was in a barn, it was a manger. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 13, it says in verse 12, it says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I was thinking this idea of overcoming is where you get along with Jesus, where you get outside the camp, amen? You get away from this world, amen? It needs to be a quiet time where you allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart all over again. And it becomes new, it becomes fresh. It's when you get off your knees and you know you've met with God, amen? That's what it means to have a quiet time, to have a time of prayer. And then, let me say, thirdly, it's overcoming my trials. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Overcoming my trials. Because see, faith is not just about me overcoming my flesh, me overcoming this world, but it's overcoming the trials that come into my life as well. Amen? It says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Many times, trials come into our lives, and they weigh us down. They weigh us down. But you need to understand that even your faith is greater than those trials, if you will allow, if you will activate your faith in those circumstances. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith being made much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 is an incredible verse. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Seeing him who's invisible. Amen. Let me use this illustration. Did you ever get in a plane and it's cloudy, it's overcast, it's maybe lashing from the heavens, and you get above the clouds and it's beautiful blue skies. And that's what it's like when you activate your faith in times of trials and valleys in your life, where you go above the clouds and it's beautiful blue skies up there. Amen? That's what it's like. That's what it's like. Your faith is designed, or your trials in this life are designed to make you, not to break you. Amen? They're designed, they're for your good. They're to make you more Christ-like. Amen? Paul said this in Colossians 3:10, it says, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection be made conformable unto his sufferings. Amen. That I may know him by any cost. You know, your trials may shake your foundation, but they can never destroy it. Amen. Go to Psalms chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11. Your trials may shake your foundation. They may be overwhelming, but they can never destroy it, amen? Because your foundation is based on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Psalms, verse 11. Psalms verse 11, verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But your foundation cannot be destroyed. It says if. And it's not possible because your foundation is based on Jesus Christ. Amen. And you didn't need to know when you're in the depth of your trial that it's not about you, it's about Him. Amen? And He will bring you through this, amen? Because He's promised in His Word that He would. And He is faithful, amen? I like that verse. Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it, amen? He is faithful. He keeps every promise of the book, amen? Every promise. It may seem unbearable right now, but it's only for a season. It will pass, amen? It will pass. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction is but for a moment, working us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. God's going to accomplish far more. He's going to make you more like Christ because you go through those deep valleys in your life. Amen. Verse 18, while we look not at things which are seen, but which are things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. God wants to bring you through that trial, through that valley, and He wants to make you Christ-like in it. Amen. And that's what Christianity is all about. Overcoming your trials. Amen. It is all going to work out for your good, amen. Romans 8:28 is still in our Bible. It's going to work out for good to them that love God. But now when you go to Exodus chapter 14, you know, God will deliberately lead you into a trial. Exodus 14. You know, it says there in Matthew 4, it says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And God will lead you into a trial. Exodus 14. In the situation in Exodus 14, there's a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And that cloud is going directly towards the Red Sea. Amen. Children of Israel are following it and they come right up against the Red Sea. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. And look what it says in Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. And verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses, chariots, and Pharaoh and his horsemen and his armies overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pirhat-Rut, before Baal-Zephon. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. This was all God's perfect plan, amen, to get them to test their faith. Now Moses, he knows God's going to deliver, but he doesn't know how. Notice what it says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, you don't have to know how God's going to deliver you. You just know God will deliver you. Amen. He will bring you through that trial. And then it goes on. It talks about how God instigates an impossible situation. He even hardens the heart of Pharaoh. Amen. So everything is in place. And it's all for God's purpose and God's honor here. Notice what it says in Exodus 14 and verse 18. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, which have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon the chariots and upon the horsemen. Hey, the trials that you're going through right now may not be just for you, may be for people around you. Amen? But God will bring you through that trial if you activate your faith. The Bible says, even our faith. Amen. Overcoming things in our life. Overcoming overcoming. And then let me say, fourthly, it's overcoming my failures. See, we think, a lot of times we think this Christianity, you know, is from success to success. But those who have been Christians for a while, you know it's not about that. Yeah. Amen? You're going to have failures. Amen. Failures are a part of life. As Christians, I'm going to fail. I have failed in the past, and I'm going to fail in the present, and I'm going to fail in the future. Just mark it down. It's going to happen. But you know what? Those failures shouldn't get you derailed. They shouldn't get you off track. Amen? Peter would never have dreamt, the Apostle Peter, or Peter would never have dreamt that he would deny the Lord 3 times. And then he would never have imagined that he would get involved in circumcision and Paul would come up and tell him to his face that you're wrong. He would never imagine that. But they're the failures that Peter goes through. You're going to go through failures as well. But you need to understand that there's something called in you called the faith that once was delivered unto the saints, that you can have the victory. The worst place for a Christian to be is this, though. The worst place for a Christian to be is where you stay defeated as a Christian. I believe that's the worst place. See, the Bible says, let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. It was Proverbs 37, I'm sorry. Yep, Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Psalms 37. 23 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Amen. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. You know, you are going to fail, but God's always going to hold on to you. Amen. God is faithful. Your faith is not based on yourself. God is faithful. But if you stay down, you will be defeated. Amen. You will be overcome. God made provision for you to get back up. Amen. I heard of a boxing fight one time, long, long time ago, on television. There was these two fighters and they were slugging it out. And probably about the 15th round or thereabouts. But both fighters are so tired and they're slugging away at each other that one guy hits one guy, he falls to the canvas, and the other guy just collapses as well. And they're both on the canvas. And the referee gives a standing count. One. And one guy's trying to get onto the ropes. The other guy is laying there. Eventually, one guy gets up. And the wonderful thing that it taught me about that was it just takes the difference between defeat and victory is just getting back up again. Amen. Amen? Just getting back up one more time. That's the Christian life. It's a fight. Amen? Just getting back up one more time. Maybe there is some sin in your life that is just defeating you. Or maybe there's some situation in your life you can't imagine how to handle that thing. You've tried and you've failed over and over. And maybe the devil has come along and whispered in your ear, you can never get the victory over this. You're defeated, you're defeated, you're defeated. And maybe you believed him. That's how the devil operates, amen? You need to tell the devil that there's victory in Christ, amen? There's not just partial victory in Christ, there's complete victory in Christ, amen? That's what Jesus promised in his words. Remind them that he's doomed, amen? Let me show you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Revelation 20. Remind the devil that he's doomed one day. Revelation 20. In verse 2 to begin with. And he laid hold upon on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan bound him 1,000 years. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. I like that part, amen. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. I like the idea that one day the devil will be shut up, amen. And he won't be able to tempt us anymore. But while he's in this world, we better realize that we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. We're not ignorant of his devices. Let me just say this. I believe with all my heart that we're living in a day and age with his Laodicean. It's type of lukewarm Christianity. Very few Christians are overcomers today. And the reason is, I believe it's because we never get real with God. We, a lot of times, if we're really honest with ourselves, we play games. We go through the motions. We come to church and we act all spiritual. And we don't allow the Holy Spirit, the sweet Holy Spirit, to come in and to just pierce our hearts. We don't allow it. Because a lot of times, we are just here out of duty, not out of love. Do you realize that? A lot of times, it just becomes a duty. And the Holy Spirit gets left out. The Bible says you have to get low, amen. The Bible says humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. But you have to get low first. You have to go all the way down. God is no respecter of persons or of time frame we live in. Now I believe we live in a dark age, amen. I believe we're coming towards the end. I believe this is the end of the church age where the rapture is going to happen. I really believe that. I believe we're living right in the end. I also believe that we can see how deadly sin is in this day and age. Even though we've all the Bible in the Word, it's just, there's something about this world. There's something about the attraction of this world. There's something about the concept of in our mind is, I can get away with it. I can do that. I can get forgiveness. No big deal. That's wicked. That's not Christianity. God wants us to be overcomers, amen. Overcoming means to be in the fight and stay in the fight, amen. Overcoming my flesh, overcoming this world, overcoming my trials, overcoming my failures. It is only achieved when I allow my faith to become real in my Christian life. That expression there, let me just look at it one more time. 1 John chapter 5 now. 1 John chapter 5. Sometimes it's good to repeat stuff because that's what sticks. 1 John. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, your faith, will take you to the place where you will have the victory. But it's achieved only when you activate that faith. Amen. When you say, okay, I believe you, God. I believe you. God, I see this area in my life that's hindering my walk with you, that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God in me. I want to get the victory over it. And when you cry out like that, you know, when I got saved, I cried out this, God help. And God saved me, amen. God, according to his word, he was faithful, he saved me. But the same is true when I get serious about overcoming sin. God will, if you purpose in your heart, God will give you the victory, amen. He is faithful. I was thinking about this. Let me give you a challenge. It's 6 weeks to Christmas. Do you ever think, what could I give Jesus this Christmas time? Seriously, you know, you can't give Jesus money or things like that because he owns it all. But you can give him this. You can give him some sin that you're struggling with. You can give him some sin you say, and purpose in your heart tonight and say, I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to purpose in my heart and by the time Christmas comes, I'm just going to say quietly, Lord, I did it only for you. Just for you. And this is my gift to you this Christmas. I'm giving you this gift, Lord. And nobody will know. Not even your wife will know. Nobody will know. But Jesus will know. Amen? Wouldn't that be a sweet gift to give Him this Christmas? Well, that's our challenge as a church, to give Him that. It's the Lord's birthday in 6 weeks. You know, wouldn't it be sweet if I could say, I've overcome something. I've gotten the victory over something. And then continued on from there. Amen? And God would be well pleased with that. That's what it means to be an overcomer. To have the victory. Not just over some partial areas in my life. You know, when I was younger in my Christian life, I struggled with alcohol. I got the victory over that. I struggled with other things. I've got the victory over that. But the Christian life is supposed to be from victory unto victory. Amen? And it's not about me. It's about this world around me. Amen? Because the unsaved, they know if we're walking with the Lord. They know. And we as Christians, we have an opportunity to overcome things in our life. It may be a temper. It may be an attitude. But if that thing is hindering your walk with Christ, you need to get the victory over it. Amen? And have the victory. And that victory is only in Christ. Amen? Let's bow in a word of prayer.